What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 64. Today, we're going to be talking about the blood type diet. We're doing a whole series on some good diets to do, some bad diets to do. So this is going to be another one of the bad diets. So we're going to break down why that is. But first, let's do a quick check-in. So, Tom, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. So I tried a couple new things in the kitchen this last week. I guess it's like a little craze. It's kind of sweeping the keto and like carnivore community. The whole like chaffle thing. It's like a cheese and egg waffle, basically.
Okay. I think you told me about this last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you're on social media, like everybody's been doing them.
Okay.
I tried it with just like raw, like aged cheddar cheese and just like some eggs. It was really easy to make. Just those two ingredients. Bought them. I was looking forward to making them. Mm-hmm. Get home to make them. I guess we, like, got rid of our waffle iron because we haven't used it in, like, a couple years. So I was like, oh, shit. So I had everything. I was, like, looking forward to it. So I was like, okay, I'll just go to the store and buy one.
You got a whole waffle iron for this?
Yeah.
Come on, couldn't you just make pancakes? Isn't it the same thing?
I don't know if it is or not.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen anybody do that yet.
Okay.
And we're going to use them to make, because it doesn't sound very bready. Like, you know, just cheese and egg. So we're going to use them to make breakfast sandwiches. Okay. So, like, the waffles would be the bread.
The bread. Got it.
So, looked forward to it, like, all day. Had this, like, idea in my head. Don't have a waffle iron. So, I go to the store, buy one, come back. And the eggs were delicious. Or the waffles were delicious. Made, like, a bacon, egg, sausage, like, chaffle sandwich. Really good. Did not set well with me at all. I can't handle that little bit of cheese. Jeez. Really upset about it.
That sucks.
And I spent like all this money on brand new waffle iron too.
Yeah.
My girlfriend loved them too. So okay. I was like, all right, well, we got to keep making these. So I had to look up like other.
Oh, did it taste like a waffle? Like same consistency?
It was closer than I thought it would be.
Really? So crunchy? Yeah.
Yes. You have to leave it on longer.
Okay.
Because the cheese like gets pretty crispy.
Okay.
I left it on for quite a while and it didn't burn. So I don't know if like it can burn. I also didn't have it on high either.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure it out. But yeah, I can't do the cheese waffles.
That sucks.
Didn't work for me. So I was like, well, I bought this like, I think it was like $40 waffle iron. It wasn't like that expensive, but expensive enough. Mm-hmm. Too expensive to use one time.
Yeah.
So I looked up just like, all right, so what are some like paleo, keto, like recipes? So, like, found one with, like, some coconut flour and just, like, a bunch of eggs still. Like, a pretty basic idea. And they tasted pretty good. They don't taste like a waffle that you're just going to add some syrup to. Like, I think they still do better as, like, a sandwich thing.
Okay.
But it works pretty good. And, like, I haven't had, like, healthy, like, bread, like, in a while.
Yeah, so me either.
At least I found, like, some way I can eat, like, a sandwich and not feel like I'm, like, cheating.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I guess I have a waffle iron.
Yeah. I thought we did, because like, I remember getting one and using it like once or twice,
yeah.
But I think since we like switched over this way of eating, just like haven't thought of it and just figured it was in our closet somewhere, and now that's just
it's gone. Just gone. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't used mine in years either, but yeah. I hope it's still here, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're, I don't know, kind of got my, like I've been eating the same things over and over again. You kind of just get in your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I got a couple other like ideas that I want to try. I'm going to try and make some like fried chicken with pork rinds.
Yep, I heard that's good.
I've been really wanting to do it, just been too lazy to do it. So, like, probably this weekend I'll get on that.
Yeah, no, that sounds cool. That's a lot. There's a lot of tricks out there if you're willing to put in the work.
Yeah, and there's so many different, like, recipe ideas and stuff like that.
I'm just not willing to do the work.
Well, like, steak is really easy to make.
So easy.
Or bacon and eggs is really easy to make and it's really good.
Yeah.
I don't have to look at some recipe. I don't have to spend like 30 minutes prepping. Mm-hmm. I just, like, turn the stove on, throw the steak on, flip it, wait, done. Like, yeah. You know, steak's mm-hmm. easy.
Yeah, yeah. I just had, like, you see the big-ass bone in my oven there. I just had a tomahawk ribeye. Because they were on sale at the store, and they were so cheap, I feel like I had to buy it. Even though I normally don't, because they're kind of a hassle. But they look cooler than they actually are. Even they look like a big-ass, obviously, tomahawk axe. But
looks like a Flintstone steak.
It does. Huge Flintstone steak. And it was great, man. Threw it in the oven for about 45 minutes, low temperature. And then I seared it, like, 1 minute each side, and it was done. It was super easy. Like, you know, people say set it and forget it. Like, yeah. It was, I didn't have to do any work, really. And yeah, it was super bomb. Was that all that was new with you?
Yeah, that's it for me. So what's new with you? Yeah. Other than the steak.
Other than the steak. Yeah, the steak was good. Really happy I bought that. With me, I don't know. I'm still dealing with that shoulder injury. We talked about that last week a little bit with, like, I was doing goblet squats with a kind of heavy dumbbell and I hurt my shoulder. Or I guess aggravated my shoulder more. So this morning was actually leg day. And so I decided to do the BFR training.
Okay.
The blood flow restriction training. And it's funny how I realized how soft I really am because, you know, I'm all about, like, positive self-talk. Like, if you ask me, someone literally just asked me this at work, oh, man, how much do you bench? And you know what I told him? I said, all of it. And I said it with my chest, and I said it looking him square in the eyes because I feel that way. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of instances on, hey, what are you up to? I say, growing. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm all about this positive self-talk. And so many people, I feel like, honestly hamstring themselves with anything. You know, they quit before they even start. You know, you ask them about losing weight, about working out, about dieting. And their first answer is, oh, I can't do that. I can't do this. And I'm like, they're throwing in the white flag before you even start the race. And, you know, I refuse to do that. But that comes off a lot of the times as cocky. That comes off a lot of the times as being almost like self-righteous. You know what I'm saying? Because I always say, I can do whatever. That's, like, my answer, you know?
Well, you have to have that mindset if you're going to do anything.
You do. But yeah. You can understand if someone who isn't in that mode is like, yo, this guy's cocky as shit.
Yeah.
You know? But if you, underneath everything, I understand, you know, I can't do everything, you know what I mean? But I generally try and believe that I can if I put my mind to it. But, so it was easy for me last week to talk about BFR training. And I'm sitting here in this comfy-ass chair, like, AC, we're chilling. You know, it's easy. It's easy to talk about it right now. It's way harder to actually do it when you're actually in that, like, suck mode, you know? So this morning, I was like, okay, I did goblet squats, a few light sets. If you don't know, goblet squats are just squats where you hold a dumbbell out in front of your chest. And I honestly prefer them over barbell squats. Just the mechanics are a little bit easier for me. But so I did a few sets with that. And I was like, okay, I'll end with one BFR set. And BFR, blood flow restriction, is pretty much where you wrap a band around your upper thigh real tight and you block any sort of venous return. And so your blood, we've all had that feeling where you have that burning sensation, either you're running your lungs, you're working out your arms. So pretty much think about doing a set, working out, getting that burning feeling, and then you put down the weight, but that burning feeling doesn't go away. Then you wait 45 seconds and you do another set while you still have that same level of burn. It's easy to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty painful.
I can. Oh, yeah. It sucks. It sucks so bad. So I did a few sets of goblet squats, and I was like, okay, let me do this BFR set. So I initially had a weight, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do sets of 15. And I ended up doing my last two sets. I ended up doing sets of 6. And it was so, like, such a disappointment for me because, like, it's easy to talk a big game. It's so easy, but once you're really in the suck, in the shit that's actually hard, once you're really doing it, it's a whole different ballgame. So I let myself down a little bit, and it's okay. You know, I'll try again next week, or I'll do legs again in a few days, and I'll do it again, and I'll definitely try hard to get, like, my full rep range in. But I don't know, I just thought it was funny how, I guess I overhyped myself, but I haven't done BFR in so long, and now I remember why I stopped doing it. Because it sucks, you know?
What's that old Mike Tyson saying? Like, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you got punched in the face pretty hard. Like, your plans just went out.
Went out the door. Yeah, completely went out the window. So, and I'm still feeling my shoulder a little bit, so I'm not doing any pressing movements all week. I have it, and not worried about, like, losing size or anything like that. So I'm still able to train around it. But yeah, that's all that happened to me this week. Everything was pretty good. I just spent a little bit of time researching this week's podcast. I guess that's probably a good transition. We can talk about the blood type diet. So we're doing a whole series, like I said earlier, on good diets and bad diets. And trust me, eventually we'll get to good diets. There are good diets out there for sure, but there are so many fringe. This isn't really fringe. A lot of people know about this blood type diet, but last week we talked about the alkaline diet. We talked about the Mediterranean diet. So I think this is going to be one of the last kind of fringe diets we talk about.
Yeah. And
can you think of any other ones?
Well, I think we got one next week that we're going to talk about, but that's not really a diet.
It's talk about water.
Related. Yeah. So I don't know if like fringe is the right word or just like pseudoscience. Yeah. I don't even want to say pseudoscience because there's really like no evidence backing this at all.
Just BS.
Yeah.
It really is BS. Well, I guess, yeah. So just to start, this diet was popularized by the book Eat Right for Your Type by Dr. Peter J. D. Adamo in 1996. And so, like I said, it's pretty popular. Over 7 million copies of this book was sold over in 60 languages. So as far as book go, he killed the game. You know?
Yeah, 60 languages. That's worldwide. I mean, it must have done pretty well if they're going to translate it all those many times, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I just want to point out that this was popularized in 96. We're both born before that. We're older than this diet.
That's true.
Like, the keto diet's kind of, like, new in popularity, but that evidence goes back with that over 100 years. And really, like, we've been eating that way for hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not a new diet. Like, this blood type diet is completely brand new.
But you know, I didn't even think of it that way. It's super brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah, 96 is like nothing. It's like a drop in the bucket. Yeah. So this author, he claims that each ABO blood type processes food differently. So he has individualized diets specifically for your blood type. So there's four blood types, so he recommends four diets. And the diets are based off what our ancestors supposedly ate. And he uses real shoddy, I don't even want to say science, logic behind it. And we're going to go into that a little bit as far as that's just not true. But I wanted to first do a quick overview of the blood types. Because I think, I don't know, I really didn't know a lot about blood types. Did you?
I just know kind of like about giving blood and that's about it.
Okay.
Just like, I think that's pretty much the only time that like your blood type is really useful,
really matters, right?
As if you're either donating blood or receiving blood. I think that's the only time that it matters. Maybe I'm wrong, but
organ
transplants, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. So
outside of that, I don't know any other time that it's
really matters.
Yeah.
So what are the blood types? You have O positive, O negative, A positive, A negative, B positive, B negative, and AB positive and AB negative. So blood types are determined by the presence or absence of certain antigens. And antigens are substances that can trigger an immune response if they are foreign to the body. So think of like the flu will trigger an antigen, and our body will build up a response to that. And that's why it's important to receive the right blood if you have a blood transfusion. If you give someone with blood A, type B blood, their body sees that B antigen as a foreign invader. Like I said, similar to the flu, so it'll upregulate their immune system and attack it. And obviously, if you're getting blood, that's not a good thing. So
yeah, your body's rejecting that blood.
Exactly. So when we talk about like organ, well, no, that's different. But yeah, that's going to be a bad thing for sure. So O blood is a universal donor because it doesn't contain A or B antigens in the blood. And AB is a universal receiver. It can take any blood. So if you want to be a blood type, you want to be AB.
Yeah, definitely. Because then if you're ever in trouble, you can get...
Give it to me.
Yeah, you can get anything. O negative, like, that's what I am. That's good for everybody else.
Not
like,
for
I
you.
Donate blood all the time, but yeah, can't receive it.
Have you ever donated blood?
A few times. It's been a while.
Do they give you money?
I haven't done it for money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You do it, like, at school for, like, fairs
and stuff? Yeah, I did it in high school and college a few times, stuff like that.
Okay.
Usually there's some sort of fundraiser or just a blood bank. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And then also, like, so A and B are both dominant, and O is recessive. So if you're O, that means both of your parents were O. If one parent's A and one parent's O, you're going to be A. And same with B. And then if you have one parent that's A, one parent that's B, that's where you get the AB from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's mostly
what just... What are those called? Putant squares?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it is. That's how you do those, like, gene things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over what he recommends as far as what the diet should be for each individual blood type?
Okay, so according to this author, according to the blood type diet, type O is your original blood type. So that one's supposed to be mostly like hunter-gatherer diets, our primal diet, high protein, mostly animal-based with some plants. These people do best on like meat, fish, certain fruits and vegetables, limiting starches, no grains, no beans, legumes, no dairy, pretty much like a strict paleo approach. That's really kind of right in line with what how I eat and like what we recommend to most people.
And type O is the most common blood type.
Yes. So like type A is like the agricultural blood type. Type A, agricultural, seems to go perfect. Proponents claim that it arose after the invention of agriculture. So people with this blood type do best on vegetables, fruits, grains, beans, legumes, limited fish. They should avoid meat, wheat, dairy. It's basically a vegetarian diet. So almost the complete opposite of type O.
Yeah, they're saying like your ancestors started agriculture, therefore you should only eat things produced from agriculture, which is going to be vegetables pretty much.
I guess it just completely omits the ancestors that came before them that were eating meat.
Yeah, that one generation. They're like, nah, screw that.
Okay. We'll poke holes in this later. type B is called the nomad diet, or the nomad type. These are the only people that can consume dairy on this type of diet. They do best with like lamb, mutton, rabbit, most other meats except for chicken and pork, dairy, beans, vegetables. They should also avoid wheat, olives, tomatoes, and corn.
Yeah.
Do you know why they're supposed to avoid those things?
Because of lectins in them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But
that's what a lot of this has to do with is like is lectins with food.
Yeah. So yeah, type B saying like these people raised cows and goats. So pretty much ruminants. They were pasture people. And therefore they can drink milk because they were around cows for most of their ancestry.
Yeah. So type A is kind of a combination between A and B. It's the generalist blood type. They can eat many meats, some seafood, dairy, depending, beans, grains, and fruit, but they should limit kidney beans, lima beans, seeds, corn, beef, chicken, and buckwheat.
Very specific things to cut out. Yeah.
Yeah. So the very first hole in this is that, according to the book, type O is the oldest blood type. Well, that's not true. Type A is actually older.
Mm-hmm.
And if type A rose from agriculture... then cultures that never started agriculture shouldn't have type A, right?
Exactly. Because if agriculture changed them and made them actually be better at digesting and mobilizing nutrition from vegetables, therefore everyone with type A should therefore be somebody who does farming.
Well, is there anywhere that we find this to be contradictory?
In the animal kingdom, do you ever see a monkey farming or a gorilla farming?
No, not at all.
Do gorillas have type A blood?
Actually, they have type A, B, and O.
Oh, shit.
So the same types of blood type that we have.
Yeah.
Even though they've never gone through any sort of drastic dietary change like the agriculture revolution or anything like that.
Exactly. And it's actually in humans as well. So you'll find type A blood in cultures that still follow an ancestral-style diet. So mainly eating like meat and foraged plants, like the Australian Aboriginals or the Sami in Finland, who eat mainly reindeer and fish. They're pretty much a carnivore people, and they have type A blood. So if agriculture was the genesis of type A blood, they shouldn't have it, but they do. Therefore, this dude's foundation is just a non-existent.
Yeah, that's two really big flaws, just like right off the bat. Like, that's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
So the justification given for eliminating certain foods from these diets... is all about the lectins found in the trigger or found in them that trigger glutination. That's like clumping of the red blood cells when consumed by somebody with the wrong blood type. So lectins found in olives are supposed to cause agglutination in type A's. Lectins found in grains are supposed to cause agglutination in type O's, and so on.
Yeah, this definitely is not true. lectins can care less what your blood type is. Now, we did a podcast on donuts, which really the backbone of it was on gluten. And most people have heard of gluten. So gluten is a form of lectin. Lectins are just a protein found in plants that that honestly our body doesn't like. It can't utilize for any sort of structural support. And it binds to things called glycoproteins or glycolipids. So the sugars, it binds to them. And this guy says, you know, it causes agglutination, which it can. But lectins wreak havoc in all of us. It doesn't really matter what your blood type is. It's going to affect us. And most people on the planet are either type O or type A. But however, these diets are almost polar opposites. So how can the majority of the species thrive on such different diets without evolving other major differences? We've talked about that before. Like, we don't see different lions and say, oh, you should eat gazelles and you should eat rhino. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it would be more like wolves on this country, on, like, North America, they're carnivores. But, like, wild dogs in Africa, they can only eat grass. Because that's what this is saying.
Yeah.
Is that humans from one area only eat meat. Humans from this area only eat plants. Like, there's nothing like that in the animal kingdom.
No.
Like, that's completely crazy. And if there are, like, those big-ass differences, then there's, like, several other, like, really big changes too.
Yeah.
Not just where your ancestors came from.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's true. And like we would...
Our digestive systems would be different.
We probably wouldn't be able to mate with each other. Like our genetics would be that far off. You know what I'm saying? If our diets were that different, that'd be us trying to make a baby with a cow. You know what I'm saying? It like, wouldn't work.
Our teeth would look different. Our digestive systems would be completely different. Mm-hmm. Our body structure would probably be different. Like some people would have... I mean, people already do have big ass guts. But I'm just saying like that would be like one... That would be more genetic, not just due to, like, diet.
Like a gorilla. Like,
yeah. So there's a lot of just major flaws with this right off the... Like, I don't know. We've been talking about it for 5 minutes, and I haven't been able to find anything true about it yet.
Yeah, nothing true. Yeah, yeah. And there are half-truths with this diet. So the guy does mention a few things that aren't exactly wrong, and... We talked about that with the alkaline diet. We talked about that a little bit with the Mediterranean diet as well. And I think that's where these people, I think it's how they get people. They give them a little bit of truth and then people just buy everything else.
Well, if you switch to like, okay, he recommends this diet. You switch to it. You get better. Now you're a believer in it.
Like it works.
Yeah. Like the whole counting calories thing. Mm-hmm. Like people reduce their calories. They start exercising more. They lose a bunch of weight. So it worked. So mm-hmm. they see that, oh, hey, this diet works. Not to mention 2 years later, we end up fatter than before.
And
so
gain it all back.
You know, in reality, it didn't work.
Yeah.
But it did at the beginning, so you think it works.
Exactly, yeah. So the diet, the author, he does mention that people with certain blood types experience certain diseases at higher rates. So, for example, people with type O blood, which is a majority of people, tend to get gastric ulcers more commonly. And it turns out that's true. But the mechanisms behind it aren't really understood or known, and it's definitely not going to be affected by what this dude's saying. So it's just, again, it's a kind of like a half-truth, and it's not a reason to believe everything else, because everything else this dude says is wrong. And like I said, for type O, which is the majority of people, the diet recommended is a paleo-style diet. So this diet eliminates grains, is low in carb, high in protein, especially high-quality protein. So honestly, it's an awesome diet. Like, I wouldn't... If somebody came to me who's eating this way, I'd be like, yeah, bro, good, do your thing. Like, I think there's holes in it, but for the vast majority of people, over 90%, it's a great diet. So, of course, they're going to see an improvement if they're coming from the standard American diet. So, I think that's one of the reasons why people who can do this diet and see results. It's not because of your blood type. It's not because of the lectins and agglutinating or, you know, clumping together blood cells, all this type of shit. It's not that. It's really you're just eating cleaner, whole foods now.
You know, when we were talking about what foods to eat, nowhere in that list did you see Snickers candy bars. You didn't see any Coca-Cola. You didn't see milkshakes on that list. So just by doing that, you're taking out a bunch of super processed, super, like, fattening foods, like, really unhealthy foods. So you're removing all these bad things from your diet. So you should see a lot of improvements no matter what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, for everyone, type A, B, and O, it eliminates grains. So that in itself can induce a huge change in a person's health. Like if they just stop eating whatever bread and oatmeal and pasta, if they cut those things out of their diet, they'll see a huge improvement. I don't care what else they're doing in their life. That's a big change. So the only blood type that recommends grains is AB. And that's a very, very small subset of the population. So I don't know. You think this guy knew what he was doing, or you think he bought his own bullshit?
Well, it sounds like he's combining. I mean, this is 96, so I don't really know what the diet structure was like at the time. But, all right, so he's combining, like, he has a paleo option. He has a vegetarian option. So now those are two very big diet trends that he can, like, you know, go to.
Yeah.
Right now, gluten is the enemy.
Yeah.
Gluten's been the enemy for, I don't know, about 10 years or so.
Probably.
So he's got a lot of people that are, hey, no gluten, no lectins. Like, you know, so he's kind of trying to, like, go to everybody. Hey, vegetarians, this is a book for you. Paleo people, this is a book for you. Low carb, book for you. Like, yeah. Kind of everybody.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
It seems like he knew what he was doing, honestly.
Yeah.
And it seems like he just kind of, he made this up and he put like a blood type diet cover over it, even though the blood type shit's all BS, but the diets themselves aren't particularly terrible, you know?
Well, it's like, what are the four most popular diets out there? Hey, there's four blood types. I can match these.
Yeah, you know, so he made a ton of money. You know, he sold millions of copies of this, so I mean, I guess good for him, but just the science backing it up is just, it's not there, you know?
Well, one other thing I want to point out is, like, if you're improving your diet, you're trying to, like, get healthier, most likely. If you're trying to get healthier, you're probably not just changing your diet. You're probably going to go start walking more, maybe doing some other sort of exercise. You're probably either going to cut back or quit drinking, quit smoking. You're going to get better sleep. Just a lot of other things are going to get improved as well outside of diet. So you should get healthier.
Yep.
Like, I don't know anybody that just changes their diet.
No.
And doesn't focus on the other aspects, too.
Yeah, like, I just started helping this lady at work. She, not like a client or anything, more just like, you know, I see her and I talk to her. And she changed her diet, and then she started, you know, obviously started feeling better. People started noticing her lose weight. They talked about her. And then she came to me. She wanted a quick little workout routine. I was like, okay, yeah, do this, this, and this. And so she, it's a transition, you know. She changed her diet. She wanted to start working out. Like, she didn't just focus on her diet and leave it alone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't happen. So it's really hard to tell when you have so many variables, which one of those variables is really, like, you know, the biggest one.
Yeah. Spoiler, it's not your blood type.
Yeah.
So has this been studied a little bit in the literature? And it has been. So this is a paper titled ABO Research in the Modern Era of Genomics. So it's, quote, ABO has also become a research subject in neurobiology and the preparation of artificial universal blood, and became a topic in the pseudoscience of blood type diets. So that was it right there, pseudoscience, which pretty much means BS, fake science, not true. This is from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and this is blood type diets lack supporting evidence, a systematic review. And its conclusion was, no evidence currently exists to validate the purported health benefits of blood type diet. The studies used were just completely BS, and this systematic review was honestly pretty thorough, went through everything and found nothing. So the evidence to support this guy just isn't true. The facts he uses as a backbone, as far as, you know, you, your ancestors ate vegetables, you should eat vegetables, your ancestors were hunter-gatherers, you should eat meat, isn't true. You know, we're all designed to eat damn near the same thing.
Yeah, like, the studies that he used were either not in humans, so that doesn't really matter when you're talking about specifically humans, or they showed no associations between blood type and health. So what's the point of using those studies?
I don't know. He just knows people aren't going to actually read them, I guess.
Just so you have sources?
Just so you have, yeah, exactly. You have a few pages in the back of the book that look fancy. I don't know, you know?
And honestly, it's not that hard to find evidence to support you. It's really not. Like, it's really...
I can have a paper right now saying sugar is the best shit on the planet.
Yeah, give me money. I can design a study to get you whatever results you want. Like, it won't be a great study. There'll be tons of holes in that study.
Yeah, but the title will look nice.
Yeah, but there's really easy ways to get the conclusion that you want out of a study. I mean, you need a bunch of studies to really, like, have strong evidence for something, but to have no evidence means, like, it's completely bullshit.
Yeah, completely bullshit. Yeah, it really is. So,
I mean, and honestly, like, it's on the burden of proof is on the creator of this diet to prove that it works, and there's nothing there.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, I mean, that's another BS diet that's kind of just trash. You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth trying. And I guess I wouldn't recommend it, right?
Well, what's funny is, like, the first time I heard about this, I thought it was just funny and just completely silly. But I also thought, like, the carnivore diet was completely silly the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't eat vegetables and you get healthier? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of other things that I heard at the time that I thought were silly. So, you know, was like, all right, let me, you know, I'll give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find any evidence, like, pointing to this as, like, a good diet, good scientific backing. Like, it's a complete opposite of the, we did the protein poisoning one,
mm-hmm.
where there's, like, nothing out there. We had to, like, dig through stuff to find, like, evidence and kind of put stuff together.
Yeah.
For this one, it's a complete opposite. There's no evidence out there because there's nothing to it.
Straight up, there's nothing to it. Yeah. The research for this week's podcast was super easy. Honestly, I appreciate it. But,
yeah, nobody, barely anybody's talked about it or anything like that. And I don't know, I've listened to a lot of, I guess, like, kind of pseudoscience stuff out there that could be true, might not be true. I'm always skeptical, but I'm also, hey, you know, maybe I've been wrong 1,000 times before. I'll be wrong another 1,000 times in the future.
Yeah.
So I'll give everything a chance. But yeah, this one just never, I don't know, there's nothing ever to it.
Nothing to it at all. Yeah, so do you have a tip of the week this week?
Yeah, this one is about dealing with jet lag. I had a couple friends that just flew to New York. So they're just kind of talking about, the mom was just saying how, like, bad she experiences jet lag every time she goes. And she's only going to be there for, like, I think they were there for about a week. So she's like, hey, I don't want to ruin one day for jet lag. So I was like, okay, this is what you got to do. The very first day that you're there, get up really early in the morning, no sunglasses, get a lot of sunlight exposure. And then also eat, like, your first meal according to, like, the time there. So, like, if you normally have your first meal 10 o'clock Western time, do it 10 a.m. Eastern time. That way your body, like, so by doing that sunlight exposure and that meal timing, it's letting your body know, like, oh, hey, this is breakfast. And then it's going to change your whole, like, circadian rhythm to adjust to that thing. So, like, the two biggest things are, like, eating meals at the appropriate times, and that's according to the time that you want to be on, and then also that sunlight exposure. That sunlight exposure, there's so many different hormones that are being activated there. It's really too complex to get into. But that's, like, those are the two biggest signals to your body of when you should be awake and when you should be asleep.
Yeah, it's funny to think that early morning sunshine exposure helps people sleep.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, that is a little, if you're out there and you're struggling sleeping, people would imagine to kind of fix their routine at the end of the day. Like, okay, let me not watch TV before 7, let me, blue light blockers, right? Which are all good things. Yeah. But what you, another thing you might want to try and do, get your ass up early and get that sun in early. And that can help you go to sleep.
Yeah, so the first day that they got there, they traveled, they had all that thing going on. You know, it was a long day. So I think, like, she only got, like, 5 or 6 hours of sleep that first night. But since she did that sunshine thing, got her more, like, her meal at the right time, she said she didn't feel any jet lag at all that first day.
Good.
She was, like, perfectly good. And honestly, I noticed that all the time. It's like, now that it's starting to get lighter later in the day,
mm-hmm.
it takes me a little bit longer to, like, kind of, like, fully wake up in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, because I get up pretty early. I normally get up about 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and, like, the sun isn't up till, like, 7. So, like, before 7, like, around, like, 6 o'clock, I started hitting a little, like, I'm like, man. I
like need a, like, second nap.
Yeah, like, ah, what happened to that morning rush? Like, it's mm-hmm. kind of gone. And then 7 o'clock comes and my energy goes through the roof.
Yeah, it's funny. This morning, I actually got working out. I got done working out really early because I woke up kind of extra early. So it was maybe like 6 o'clock and I was done working out. It was like pitch black outside. Yeah. And I was like, the shit? I was like, I'm already like, that's like my day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was like, it was weird. So yeah, it's right. The seasons are changing for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to adjust to a new time zone, decide that early sunlight exposure and early meal timing. Those are the keys.
Boom. All right, well, that was a quick one. I think that was a good one. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please feel free to support the podcast. There's a donate button on our homepage. And then also, if you don't want to donate money, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.